Thank you for joining me once again in this broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so privileged to be a preacher of the grace of God. Hallelujah. And you are so privileged to hear the grace of God. And you are so privileged so that you can take this message of grace to other people as well. Isn't that awesome? It's good for me to just come to you and just come right into your living room or wherever you are watching via the internet, all over the world. And I can just come and you just open your heart in and just receive this message of grace. It's good to speak to you that way. Hallelujah. I thank God for technology. I thank God for the opportunity we have to be preachers of grace all over the world. You know, one day a man came to me and he said to me, and I think I said in a previous broadcast, he said to me, Bert, you know, you preachers of grace. And I just thought in my heart, you know, now, if you call me a preacher of grace and you say, you preachers of grace, now, what do you preach? Now, the grace of God is the only message in the Bible. Now, you might say, Bert, but now you're taking it a little bit too far. Well, the grace of God is the work of Jesus Christ. Let me define it that way. The grace of God is what Jesus has done. The grace of God is all about Jesus and the effect of His work in lives of people. That's the correct definition for grace. Therefore, I can say, there's no other message but the grace of God. Even judgment is included in grace. God was so gracious and so influential that He influenced my life by punishing Jesus for my sins so that I could be free today. You see, there's grace in the area of judgment. Isn't that awesome? Every area is covered by the grace of God. And the most wonderful thing is that you can take your Bible, sit in your bed before you go to sleep, and just read a piece of Scripture and just see the grace of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? You can just go any time of the day and by correct interpretation, read grace in every Scripture. And that's what God has got for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And He wants to influence your life as well. There's grace upon grace. There was grace which came towards the whole human race. And then when we believe it, that influence that's towards the whole human race came to our lives. And I believe that's where the inclusion guys miss it. Where they say all of mankind is saved. Now salvation has appeared unto all. So salvation has come towards all of us. And Jesus paid for all of the sin of the world. But when you believe it, you are taken out of it. And out of that sin and put into righteousness. Now let me explain to you this way. It's like when Adam and Eve was in the garden. They were in righteousness. They were created in righteousness. But there was also evil. And when they believed the evil, they entered into it. But when Jesus came, man was found in sin. And he was found in a fallen state. And that's where we are. Then he brought salvation unto all of us. So that whosoever believe, like through faith, Adam was by faith taken out of his holiness. It's the same way by faith we will be taken back into holiness. When Adam believed the snake, when he believed the lie and he obeyed that, he was taken out of it. And the same way Jesus brought it to all of us. And salvation is there for everybody, but those who believe, they enter into it. If you don't believe it, you cannot enter into it. It's the same with Adam and Eve. If they didn't believe the snake, they would never have entered into sin. And with us it's the same. If we don't believe that it is for free, it has been given to us, we've been made the righteousness of God, we will never enter it and remain in the state that we are, or that people are that's not received Jesus as sinners, as people that's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, not partakers of the kingdom of God, and that will be condemned into hell because of not receiving the salvation. And I've said it so many times, not God sending you to hell, it's you walking there and Him trying everything possible for you not to go there, even slaughtering His Son, getting preachers over your path, showing you signs, wonders and miracles, and then you're still saying, I don't want to go there. I mean, what must God do? What must He do? That's what you want. That's your desire. Then you must go. And it's the same with me. So many times I preach the grace of God and I see people still remaining under the law. People still saying, yes, I know this, I know this. You know, I've come to a point where I say, man, it's easier for me to send somebody a CD so he can listen to that CD and hear the message. Because when you talk about grace, people always say, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah, I know. But you don't know. You think you know. But if you can just listen for long enough, you can come to a place where you can receive it. And I think this can be very practical advice. If you want to speak to somebody about the grace of God, just share with him. That's fine. And if he doesn't listen, man, get one of my CDs or get one of, just get a grace CD and give it to the guy. And you will see how it will change his life, will make an impact in his life. Amen. Now let's go to a scripture that I touched in the previous session, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28. It says there, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In the previous session we said that our words should always be with grace. And we defined grace. Grace is the obedience of Jesus Christ on behalf of man that is influential towards man. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart, the acting out in the life, that includes gratitude. It's especially the divine influence upon the heart, the acting out in the life. So we can never say the grace message promotes sin. When you preach grace, it will be God's influence into the actions of people. Now you can try and obey, but when God obeys in your physical body, you will have a much higher standard of obedience than the willpower of man. It's like I spoke to somebody just before this session and we were speaking about stinginess. And to be in the eyes of Jesus, or let me put it this way, compared to the obedience and the absolute just willing heart to give that Jesus has. If you must compare every person on this planet's generosity to the generosity of Christ, everybody qualifies as stingy. That's it. That's why we should never think that our generosity is our key to prosperity. Jesus' generosity, because He's generous, that's why you will have. Hallelujah. And just put your focus there. Just put your heart there. Just say, my God, I receive this grace. Let your mouth always, and always means always, be full of grace. So when you've sinned, when you've just had a fight with your wife or with your husband, when that marriage is, man, on the rocks, let me tell you something. Start to see the grace of God firstly. You know, you cannot put something in your mouth that's not in your heart. If you put something in your mouth that's not in your heart, you know what you do? You're a hypocrite. You qualify for the section where Jesus spoke to the Pharisees that says, how can you that are evil speak good things? Now, first go and study the grace of God. Go and see the grace of God. Get CDs, get material about the grace of God. And when you listen to His grace, you'll find grace coming into your heart. And I've got good news for you. The moment you put that CD on, the moment you listen to grace, as you're listening now, the Bible says the sower sows the seed and it falls in the heart of man. So it falls right into your belief system right now. And you can sit, you sit there with a choice. I feel this faith coming into my heart. I've heard many people say this. Bertie, as you preach the good news, it is so good. It feels so right. I wish it could be true. Man, it is the truth. Hallelujah. That's the good news. It is true. It's the only thing that's true. Anything else is a lie. It's the only thing that's true. God's work through Jesus Christ on your behalf that's so influential that the moment you hear it, you just even feel the emotion of it. You feel that good news. You feel that I'm accepted. You feel that dignity and that worth coming into your life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God has given you. The message of grace. Now, when you hear this, faith in a man comes to your heart. Maybe you've had a fight, like I said. Your marriage is where it's not supposed to be. Your finances is not supposed where it's not supposed to be. Your relationship with your children. Maybe you're in an affair. Maybe you have just stolen money. Maybe you've got a court case coming up. And all of that, you just feel that fear and that anxiety coming into your heart. Study the message of grace. And as you feel this grace come into your heart, let what is in your heart also be in your mouth. Speak the influence of God. Speak the absolute blessing of God that is in your heart, that free gift, the obedience of Christ on your behalf. Speak it over your life. Well, God, Jesus obeyed on my behalf. And I stand here righteous because of the obedience of Christ. I qualify, it is mine. I rest. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. You know, I just want to testify. We are moving down to Malmesbury. And the keyboard that I've got here is from a church that I started in the colored community. And they're using another church's keyboard at the moment because they're in the same building. And I've got this keyboard and I've got to give this keyboard back. Although I bought it with my money, I gave it to the church. So they are using another one, but when I move, I need to give it back. And I just said, my God, you know, I would actually want one of these pianos, you know, electric pianos, electronic pianos. And I know it's been provided. I rested. I didn't try to do anything to get God to give it to me or anything. I just rested in the grace of God. He was rich. He became poor, so I, through his poverty, might be made rich. And this morning, somebody phoned me and said, are you in need of such a thing? They live in Pretoria. I live in Douglas. It's about 600 and something, 700 Ks apart from. They watched me on television, felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and said, we need to phone Bertie and tell him this. Isn't God good? He is so awesome. He's an absolute wonderful God. He's such a provider out of the grace of God. And this is what he says. Let your mouth always be filled with grace. What I said is, I just said, my God, I qualify to have that. And I make use of the obedience of Christ. It is mine. And I rested in the grace. And there it is. And so it is with everything in my life. Hallelujah. I can't even tell you about all the things. But God is just blessing me so much. It's awesome. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12 and with the scripture in mind that says, let grace always be in your mouth. Let's read this. It says verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So, if you put grace in your mouth, if you preach grace, if you share grace, the obedience of Jesus on your behalf, remember that. And I know I've repeated this maybe 150 times in these 9 sessions, or this is the 10th session on grace. You know what? The more you put grace in your mouth, the more it's acceptable to God. If you put works in your mouth and punishment and this desert teaching, and I tell you, I don't know why I'm so against this desert teaching. It's because I think I've been struggling for so long, and people telling me, no, God's purifying you. You know, and it's just such a thing that I'm against that. And I'm not against preacher, but I must say I'm against that. I'm not for that. It's bringing death into the lives of people, all this purification teachings and God washing you like this, and you must then go through this to be purified, boiled until the rubbish comes to the top and all. You know, that's not God, man. It's just not God. It's just not who He is. Imagine the bride standing there in her wedding dress. It's all beaten up, full of scars, full of dust. Now, where are you coming from? No, you know, the bridegroom's just taken me through the desert, hallelujah, purifying me. What a lot of nonsense. The problem is our dress has been full of spots of law and legalism, like that type of teaching, this pruning teaching, God just cutting everything away. And oh, it hurts. It's going to be hurtful when God cuts that out. It's going to be painful when God cuts that out. I tell you, it hasn't been painful at all for me when this desert teaching was cut out of my life. Hallelujah. And I remember when I was down in Bredasdorp, I had an old car, and when God pruned that out of my life, I thank God for that. Amen. When I was only getting 1,000 rand a month and God pruned that out of my life and replaced it with a 20,000, hallelujah. Thank you, my God. God is so good. God is an awesome God. He's pruning all the bad out of my life through the message of grace. Hallelujah. That's it. Let grace always be in your mouth. And have grace, because when you are under grace, you are unshakable. It says, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, have grace. Why? So that you cannot be shaken. Because everything that's not of grace will be shaken and be taken away. I don't care if it's preached out of this Bible. Out of this Bible, I can preach a message that says if somebody's caught in the act of adultery, they can be stoned. And they should be stoned. But it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is that there's no condemnation. That's the Word of God. That's the intention of God. Another word for the word Word, the Greek word Logos, is the word intention. In the beginning was the intention of God, and the intention of God was with man, and the intention became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we beheld the intention God had. It is grace and truth. Truth being no consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So have grace, because that's acceptable to God. Now, so many times we think, when we are in hard times, when we're going through the hard time, when I speak grace, God's just going to be good to me, you know. I know I've been disobedient, but God's going to bless me. You feel it's wrong. You feel, how can it be? It is the only way. Let your mouth be filled with grace. Even if you've done something wrong and you say, even if I'm not faithful, He remains faithful. Even if I deny Him, He will deny me. Meaning, He will deny the fact that I've denied Him. That's what it means. I know one day we'll get into that teaching. It's awesome. He cannot deny Himself. Even if I say God is not good, He will still be good to me. Why? Because He cannot deny who He is. Even if I say, God, You are not good, He will deny me. He will not agree with me. And then He will say, well, I will still be good to you. Amen. Because He cannot deny Himself. Isn't that awesome? Even if I'm not faithful, He remains faithful. My God, you know, I should have done this, and I haven't done it, but I need this blessing, Lord. He gives it to you for free through the obedience of Christ. You qualified. Amen. Have grace. It's acceptable to God. It's acceptable. Let's read it again. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If you've got reverence for God, you will receive His grace. If you've got a true respect for God, you will receive His grace. Because He is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. That's who He is. Another word for consuming fire is healing goodness. Amen. Now, I don't have time to get into that, but that's what it means. Healing goodness. Maybe in the next session. It says there, if you want to serve God acceptably, how many people want to serve God acceptably? Of course you want to serve God acceptably. But the only way you can serve Him acceptably is by receiving His grace. The obedience of Jesus, the influence of Jesus on your behalf, in your life. Amen. Now, another thing that we need to look at, one of the attributes and the fruit that grace has got in our lives is it keeps you away from bitterness. And let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Let's read verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest a root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, bitterness will defile you. But it says, let us look unto Jesus Christ with everything we have, lest we fail. Let's look unto holiness which comes by Christ. Let's look unto Jesus, peace with all men, all those type of things. Why? So that we can receive the grace of God and walk in the grace of God. Don't try and fight with somebody. Rather, have peace with him so that you don't have to, for half a day, think of all the bad things the other person's done. You know, yeah, but he's supposed to do this and he's supposed to do that. You get off onto that tangent again. You get onto that wagon of accusation. And for a whole day you're not thinking of the grace of God. Rather, follow peace with all men. Let's read verse 12 again. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Or that word fail there means to fall from the grace of God. So let's not fight with people, because when we fight with people, we might get a law mentality again, because he should have done this and he should have done this, he should have done that, and I'm doing this and this and this. All of a sudden you're back under law again and you're not under grace anymore. And he says, when you're under law and not under grace, bitterness will come into your heart. So if you've got bitterness in your life towards somebody, it will be a good thing to say, well, I'm trying not to be bitter and I forgive this man and, you know, I don't keep it against him. Now that's one way of getting rid of bitterness, but it's the weakest way of getting rid of bitterness that I've ever seen or ever have handled. You know, I've tried to say, well, I'm getting rid of this, you know, I'm not keeping this against this person anymore. And then I feel free for a week, and then when I see him in the street again, I feel something jumping in my heart, and then I say, I rebuke you, devil, I've forgiven him. You know, and that's not a way to walk. The right way to walk is to get deeper into grace, because it says here that we should not fall from grace, lest a root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. Now, it's speaking about relationships with people. If you struggle with that wife of yours, if you struggle with your husband, let me tell you, what you need is more of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace. You need more of the grace of God. The more you hear what He did on your behalf and on the behalf of your spouse, the more you will find bitterness going away. You cannot get rid of bitterness, man. The grace of God must get rid of bitterness. If you could get rid of bitterness through your own effort, why did Jesus die? Remember what we said, let your mouth be full of grace, for it's the answer to every man. The answer to you getting rid of your bitterness and your unforgiveness is studying the finished work of Jesus. And then you will find forgiveness in your heart. And then you will say to somebody, I forgive you from my heart. So what God says, we should forgive from our hearts. If we don't forgive from our hearts, your heart is your belief system. If you don't forgive out of your belief system, out of the way you believe things are supposed to be, which is formed correctly by the grace of God, how will you ever get rid of bitterness? So what does the Word of God says? And let's read it again, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Man, isn't that wonderful? God is a God of grace. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at some miracles, but before we look at that miracles, I want to tell you that God wants to heal you. He's got compassion with you. Where you sit there with that backache of yours, where you sit there with that physical problem or spiritual problem, whatever sickness you have, whatever thing you have that's not part of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, He has removed it in Christ. And now, right now, it's your chance to receive that healing. Amen. You know what? You might say, but Bertie, you've recorded this maybe 2 weeks before it was broadcasted. How can this carry any power? You know, the Word is living. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's living and sharper than any two-edged sword. So this Word that I preach is alive. It cannot die. So if I preach it now and it's broadcasted 20 years from now, it's still alive. It is still the truth, and it is Jesus. When you hear it, you are hearing the resurrected Christ entering your ears, man. Entering your spirit, bringing you healing right now. That's what it is. Send that testimony to the number on your screen. It's wonderful to hear that. It's so uplifting. Man, it just brings so much joy to my heart. Amen. Let's watch together.